Your Bibles with me tonight, if you would, very quickly, into Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And I'll be as quick as we can, because I know some still want to do some decorating and get their rooms ready. Be in prayer for those that aren't here and for those that are other places. Some couldn't be avoided. Some are fulfilling obligations that they need to. I know Brother Adam and Sister Pam are at a foster care function that they wanted to be a part of, since they are in the foster care program with foster parents. And Tanya and Jimmy are delivering the girls on their way to Connecticut, so just pray for their safety. I know Brother Charles is on his way back from West Virginia. And I think there were some recitals going on. I know Sister Nancy had a recital this afternoon to be to. But every year before Bible school, I like to try to challenge us and encourage us as we prepare to go into Bible school. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I say, and don't misconstrue and don't take what I say the wrong way. In the 14 years that I've been pastor, I've never seen a Bible school that we've went into where it seemed like there was so much tension and turmoil. It's been hard bringing everything together from the very planning stages, from the very beginning. You know, we had issues, and try to let the school board determine the week that we'll have, and they changed the times, and they changed things, and and the devil, I tell you this all the time, the devil don't shoot dead rabbits. Right. Amen? And, he's only going to attack when God's wanting to do something, and I believe God's wanting to do something, and something's going to break loose. Amen? And the devil just isn't ready for it, and the devil's trying to hinder it. That's the only thing I know, and I face it. And we face issues, and we face turmoils. Beck hasn't had all the help that she had, usually she has the boys and the girls and Billy, and Billy's had to work every night this weekend, and he's normally her big help, and the kids are there to help get everything ready, and everything's just done so much better. She's done so much of it herself this year and had done the best she could with what she had to work with. And then I know that other people and other problems have persisted, and one come to light the other night as we was getting ready to go on visitation and was brought to light. And something that should have stayed within the church, but it got posted on social media, which I hate to see. And a church is just like any other family. There are problems, but there are scriptural ways to deal with problems. Amen? And, there's no problems. The church is not ready to split or anything like this. But, when we don't have that frame of mind where we're unified, and when I pray, y'all hear me pray for our church many times, and the one thing I do pray for is unity. Amen? And we need unity. We need to be of one heart and one mind and one purpose and one goal, and our one goal should be Jesus and Him lifted up. Amen? Paul said, I didn't come for any other reason but to preach Christ and Him crucified. I didn't come with great swelling words and all kinds of sweet things to say. I come to lift up Christ, and that's our goal. That's what Bible school's about, is to lift Christ up into the lives of young hearts and young lives. And we dealt with the issue the other night, and I thought it was dealt with, and I just don't want to let things go. And of all nights, we got a family that's been visiting with us for several weeks, and of all nights for you to be here, God has laid this message on my heart, amen? And I hope you don't go away thinking, well, there's big problems in that church, and we need to get away from that church. This is how you prevent little things from becoming big things, amen? Is you deal with it, amen? And you preach about it, and you take the scripture, and you see what the scripture says to do about it. And, I tell you what, it's weighed so heavy on my mind, I thought I would rather not even go into Bible school than to go into Bible school with a church that's not unified. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I'd rather not go into battle. A good run's better than a poor stand any day. Amen? You ever face a fella that was so much bigger than you are? Amen? And he was going to whoop you? or a group. A fellow said one time, he said, I didn't know how many it was going to take to whoop me, but I know how many they was going to use. Amen? You know, and that's the way, you know, sometimes a good run's better than a poor stand. And I was in my heart saying, I would rather not go into this if there's going to be division and we're not unified in what we're doing. But I believe we're over this, and I believe we can get over it. And I want to make sure that we're over it tonight. Amen. I want to go into Bible school with the frame of mind that we're here to uplift and glorify Jesus. And we want to see souls saved. We want to see God do a work in some young heart and some young life, and bring someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And you don't do that by ignoring problems. Amen. You don't do that by hiding problems. You do that by dealing with problems scripturally. And I want us to go into Bible school with a unified front. Amen. And to that end, we're going to preach tonight. And I said the other night that I probably was going to preach Sunday out of the scripture before any of this ever come up. God had laid the scripture on my heart, and I touched on it on Wednesday night as we was preaching about the light. And you know, Jesus said, you know, we're the light of the world, a candle that's set on a hill. We don't hide it under a bushel. And sometimes we try to hide our candle under the bushel of the church. Sometimes we try to hide it under the bushel of the world, but praise God, we need to let that light shine, amen? And look at what he says here in Philippians chapter 2. Let's stand tonight. We didn't this morning. I got so wrapped up. I got right into the message, and I knew we didn't, but we wanted to get into things because we'd had a long morning. In chapter 2, verse number 14, he says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for its help. And Lord, guide us through your word and bring us to the place where we need to be. Father, unite our hearts and our lives together in one purpose and one goal and for one cause, that Christ Jesus might be exalted and souls might be saved through every word and every deed and everything collectively that's done by this church and with us as individuals. Help us to glorify and honor you in all things. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. You know, the Apostle Paul was accustomed, and he was used to having to deal with problems. And if it makes you feel better, church, let me just tell you this. There's always been problems in the church. You know why? Because churches are filled full of people. Amen. And where there's people, there's problems because everybody is a little bit different, and we have our personalities, and sometimes our sensibilities and our personalities get stomped on and get hurt a little bit, and we have trouble dealing with it, and sometimes we have trouble getting over it. But let's put our big boy and big girl clothes on, amen, and get over these things according to the scripture. He's got a prescription in his word for dealing with everything, amen. But he tells us the importance right here of having a unified front. He said that in a perverse and a crooked nation, we might shine as lights. And I don't know any more perverse and crooked nation that we could go to and point to than we can in America today, amen. Right outside the doors of this church, people need to hear the gospel, and they need to see the light of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians, verse number 1, Paul, as he begins his epistle, his letter to the Corinthian church, right off the bat, right down in verse number 10, not too far away, and verse number 9 is where he starts, but in 10 he touches on it. He deals with the problem that's in the church. He said, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." Do you know that there's always been problems? Amen. Amen. Do you remember there was a time when there was a contention and there was a problem between Paul and Mark? Amen. And they had to separate and they had to go and they had to work in separate works. It didn't hinder the cause of Christ. And they didn't split up and go away mad. There was a bitter dispute. There was a strong contention between them. But they went on to do the gospel. And they knew that they had to go do the gospel. And they separated. And they both went with other partners into doing what the Lord would have them to do. The Apostle Paul knew right here in the Corinthian church, the church that he had helped to establish and got on its feet. There were problems. He was hearing about the problems. There are problems. He said, but look, we can get over these problems if we just get into the same mind. Amen. And let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who didn't lift himself up, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto God, even to going to the cross. And friends, we need to put our pride aside. Amen. And it don't matter how right you are sometimes. Amen. We need to humble ourselves. Over in chapter number 4 of Philippians, as Paul is writing the letter to the Philippian church, he says, therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, I want you to know I love you. I love you each and every one. Amen. I love the ones of you that are easy to get along with. I love the ones of you that are hard-headed. Amen. I love the sheep and I love the goats because hopefully if we preach right and if we have the right heart in the right mind, we can see some goats turn into sheep, and I've seen it happen. Hallelujah. Amen. God can make a change in lives. And Paul wanted them to know that they're loved and that they're cared for. The only reason a man of God preaches like we preach, and we preach against sin, we preach about sin, and we preach about godly living is because that we love you. Amen. It's not because we're mad at you and we're trying to get even with you. It's because we love you. He said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Euodia, and I beseech Syntyche. Now, how many ever knew how that name was pronounced? Amen. It's spelled S Y-N-T-C-H-E. Hey, amen. I had to look up how to pronounce that name because I didn't want to stand in front of y'all tonight and appear as ignorant as I really am. Hey, amen. And my wife can tell you, I got a dictionary on my computer, and it'll not only break it down how to pronounce it, but it's got a thing you can push a button and it'll say it for you. Hey, amen. So right in the margin of your Bible somewhere. So the next time you come across that, it's pronounced Syntyche. Amen. It's pronounced nothing like it's spelt. Amen. He said, but I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of the life. You know, there was a problem between these women in the church. And Paul said, look, you guys need to get your differences straightened out and be of the same mind and get on the same page and get in one accord. And that brings us back to our text message. Why do we need one mind and one accord? Why do we need unity in our church? Number one, it's for your personal faith, your personal testimony, your personal witness before God. Look at what he says in verse number 15. He says that we might be blameless. Praise God. Blameless before who? But before God. Amen. Most importantly, before God. Our lives need to be blameless before him. We can be right and be wrong. Amen. We can be right in the scripture. We can be right in our doctrine, and we can apply it and deal with it with other people in the wrong way. Amen. And I understand that. And he says we need to be blameless before God, and we need to be blameless before the brethren. Amen. Number two, harmless, not hindering in that personal relationship. It should be our desire to grow together instead of to be driven apart. Amen. It should be our desire to help and not hurt. If you're harmless, you're there to help. If you're harmless, you're not there to do anything that's going to hinder the cause of Christ. And in our personal relationship, we should have a relationship where when others see us and others think about us and others talk about us, they should talk about how our life is one that tries to bind together instead of tear apart. And he says, without rebuke, that the church needs to take no action. But more importantly, you know, the church, if the church would start doing more of its job, amen, we'd have a lot less of the problems that we have in the way that we have them. Amen. Just throw that in there. I'll tell you what, you want to see how far away we've got from church discipline. Go online and look up the Welsh Tract Baptist Church. The oldest primitive Baptist church in America. Its church building that they have there now was built in 1742. And if you look up Welsh Tract Baptist Church, if you search far enough, you can find their minutes all the way back. And if you want to see something, see how church discipline was applied for those who were unfaithful, for those who live loosely, for those who cause problems and divisions in the church. They didn't waste no time about it. They dealt with it. But, you know, we need to live our lives that we might be blameless and without rebuke before the church, but more importantly, that before God, when we stand before Him, we would hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and not have to listen to a list of all the things and all the hindrances and all the problems that we caused along the way. I don't know about you, but I know there's some problems and there's some things in my life that I'm not proud of, amen. But praise God, I'm glad they're under the blood, and I'm glad that when I stand before my Savior, I won't have to give an account for the wrong that I've done. But praise God, I'm going to have to answer for the mistakes that I've made, but I know He'll do it in a loving way. Amen. Amen. And that's the way we need to apply ourselves, is in a loving way, that we might have a clear heart and a clear conscience. If you're blameless, harmless, and without rebuke, amen, you got some joy in your heart. You don't have anything weighing in there. You don't have anything troubling you. So we need that unity. We need that one mind and one accord for our personal walk, our personal relationship. But we need it for our collective ability as well. How do you divide, or how do you defeat an army? You divide and conquer. Amen? When you see the great military tactics that have taken place in some of the great battles of time, it's always been the goal to try to divide the army, to try to divide the foe in some way. When you divide them, you tear away that unified front. When you divide them, you begin to isolate and you begin to make people feel separated. But we have an opportunity to reach a lost and a dying world. We have an obligation to let the light of the gospel shine unto those who need to hear the message of the gospel and need to hear about Jesus. We have an obligation to be faithful to one another as we're faithful and to take the gospel into the world. He says we were in a crooked and a perverse nation, and trust me, the world needs to hear the gospel, and there's nothing in the world, amen, that we can brag about. There's nothing in the world that we can lay claim to that should be drug into the church. We need to keep the world in the world, keep the church in the church, but we need to take the message of the gospel and let the light shine in the lost and the dying world, because it's a crooked and a perverse place. Amen. The world is in darkness. Jesus made it perfectly clear that they that walk carnally, they're walking in darkness. They're walking in a dark world. Church, there's no time to be fooling around. I believe the day of the Lord, I personally believe it. I believe it could happen anytime. Everything's fulfilled. Amen. We're just waiting on the trumpet to sound, and we're out of here. Amen. But until that time, we have a work to do. Jesus said, tarry till I come. Tarry till I come. What's that mean? It means to be busy. It means to be taking care of business until I come. We have that obligation. The world is walking in darkness, and we have the light. The world has a problem, and we have the answer. The world is in need, and the world is searching for something, and they know not what they search for, but praise God, we have the answer of what it is that they need, and we can't share that if we're fighting and arguing and not unified in all that we do, and go forth for the cause of Christ in a way that uplifts and glorifies Him. There can be no hindrances. There can be no stumbling blocks. There can be no problems to keep God's people from doing what He wants them to do. And thirdly, and lastly, we need to have a unified, a single mindedness about us, that the Lord's blessing might be upon the work that we do. Psalm 133 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If you're unified, you've got one mind. If you're unified, you got one purpose. If you're unified, you got one goal. If you're unified, you want to please the Lord. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. I tell you, I don't know about you, but there's not a greater thrill in this world to have someone come into your church, whether it's downstairs in the Sunday school room, whether it's here during the preaching service, whether they've left, and my lands, I've led people to the Lord back in my office, than to find people and see people and know people that find life evermore, life everlasting in Jesus Christ. Our goal is for God's blessing to be on everything that we do. Our desire for this week is for God to reach hearts and lives and to touch those young ones and there to be no divisions and no schisms and no hindrances in our lives and not perceived and not seen in any way, shape, or form, but that Christ might be uplifted, that Christ might be glorified, that Christ might be adored. Amen, the way that He should be. And the only way that we can do that is to get in one mind and one accord. Where two or three are gathered in My name for one purpose and one goal and one accord. He said He would be in the midst. When God's people come together and they allow God to be in control, this isn't our Bible school, it's God's Bible school. This isn't our church, it's God's church. Amen. This isn't our purpose, and this isn't our goal, it's God's goal. And we've been privileged to be a part of it. We've been privileged to be able to have the opportunity to do something that gives glory unto Him. Church.